Welcome to Care of Souls, a podcast of 180 Ministries, where Dr. Stuart Scott serves as the executive director. 180 Ministries equips local churches with biblical counseling by offering counseling, education, and consulting services. Visit our website at 180ministries.org to learn more about how we can serve you. This podcast is being recorded in cooperation with the Masters University, where Dr. Scott also serves as a professor of biblical counseling. Visit their website at masters.edu to learn more about their programs in biblical counseling.
Thank you for joining us on the Care of Souls podcast. Today, Pastor Adam and Dr. Scott will discuss a commonly misunderstood one another, which is important to clearly understand and get right, and that is to be hospitable to one another, from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, which reads, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." Explain this one to us, guys.
Great to be back with you, Stuart.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah.
So we're looking at this day about hospitality, and I'm just kind of curious what's going on here in 1 Peter, and then we'll jump into what it means to be hospitable.
Well, when we're looking at this particular epistle, most individuals, when they read it, they quickly catch a whole theme of suffering and how Christians are to suffer for the glory of God, maybe in a time of persecution for the church. And in light of that, you know, our hope is in Christ and his soon return. And so that's addressed in chapter 1 and in chapter 4 here. Mm-hmm. The end of all things is at hand. So just godly character, godly living, holy focus. And then a series of exhortations, just different ones. And the one that we're looking at today is show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And in light of historically, this referred to really helping your brothers and sisters as they were either forced out of their area under persecution, or they were traveling from one place to the other and they wouldn't want to stay in the local inns, which were known for a whole lot of debauchery and just not a good place to have your family stay.
Don't stay at the Holiday Inn.
No, they weren't around.
But honestly, you're saying, hey, come to Christians, come stay with like-minded brothers and sisters in that area. And this is part of what they're rolling out the one another of, show hospitality to these people.
Yeah, just reaching out to the body of Christ in a very practical way. I mean, this is not theory. This is open up your home, whatever goods that you have, food. Just help them, send them on their way, treat them as you would treat Christ if he were in need of a place to stay. So that's kind of the context there.
Sure. And in doing that, you know, 1 Peter, we think about, you know, submitting to the authorities. We think about proclaiming the gospel in your conduct. And so part of this here is like, hey, as you practice these one another's, like there's a whole list of things, as you mentioned, given here in verse 4, that this hospitality, that's a big deal to God.
Yeah, it's a way of showing love, which is the verse before, really loving one another earnestly. This is a way to do that practically.
Mm-hmm. And then even in verse 7 about how the end of all things is near. So there's a kind of a, you know, we don't know when Christ is coming back, but we're going to live to the fullest in every area, knowing that he could return at any moment.
Right. And, you know, I don't know, when we think of hospitality now in, you know, the 2021 kind of realm, we usually think, let's have some friends over. But this was more of love strangers. I mean, that's what the word means, literally a lover of strangers. And it was homes were the place of gathering. They didn't have church buildings at the time. They met in homes. They worshiped in homes. And your home was a place of ministry.
Now, when you say the word means a lover of strangers, and then yet we're talking about, is it just any stranger, as in a homeless person on the street? Or do you think it's referring more to some of these believers that were traveling that we just mentioned, you know, to caution maybe not to stay in the pubs or the inns or whatever? Do you feel like that maybe this is Christians extending this to Christians? Or would you go as far as to say, hey, it's actually Christians extending it to anyone in need?
Well, the context here is just all about believers with believers. It's how to deal with sin and how love covers a multitude of sins, how to serve one another with spiritual gifts comes right after that.
Yeah.
So it's really the context of believers with believers, primarily.
I mean, two distinctions. One is hospitality is not just having your friends over.
Right.
We could talk about that. Yeah. But hospitality also doesn't mean have all the homeless in your home.
Right.
And we're not against homeless ministry. Yeah. We need to up our game serving the community, but we're not necessarily saying, let's take the homeless in mentality. You're not saying that if a Christian's driving down the street, they should just pick up a homeless person, bring them into their house, because the Bible says show hospitality to strangers.
No, not from this verse. This verse is directly—
Are you going to get it from another verse?
Well, it's just do good to all people.
Okay, sure.
That'd be probably the verse, especially a household of faith. But,
right.
But seek to do good to all people. Yeah. I think this is more fleshing out the John 13, where the Lord said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that's one way of showing it, a real practical way.
That's good. I love it. So how do you see the 21st century church practicing hospitality to strangers? Because I still feel like maybe we do it more with friends. Like, hey, after church, let's come over to our house.
Yeah.
You put on a big spread. So the question is that hospitality or not?
Well, when you look at technically, it's in that historically was people needing a place to stay as they were traveling or they were booted out of their home under persecution, needing a place temporarily to stay. I don't think we could narrow it into that only, but broaden it to say, let's get to know brothers and sisters, professing brothers and sisters, who we may not know.
Right, who are outside of our friend group, so to speak,
and
that we are going to really be just as warm and cordial with them, others from our church that we don't know as well, versus just having the same old closer friends over all the time.
Right. And seeing ways to, when there is a need of a brother or sister in Christ, how can we help meet that need? If we can't have them at our house, is there a way that we could find a house for them or contribute money for them to stay somewhere? Just how do we really love practically?
Yeah. You know, we live right here next door to the Master's University, and students are always sometimes needing some help. I'm going to start telling them if I don't have room in my house, that you might have room in your house.
Well, I'll definitely talk to my my wife and my mother who lives with us. So,
but in all reality, it is really, and I think about Shepherd's Conference when pastors come in from all over the world. Grace Community Church has done a great job reaching out to their members, and we try to do that too as a church since we're right here close by. Of saying, hey, there's some pastors coming. If anybody wants to open up their home, some of these guys who are from other countries or from other parts of our country, would you be willing to host a few guys during that week? Yeah. And that seems to actually be a very one-to-one application of this principle.
It would be. And I think even broadening it a little bit is just how do we reach out to those we don't know, even at our church?
Yeah.
Because, we're having visitors and new members. And how do we get to know people we don't really know? Now, they may not be in a point of need necessarily, but there is this love strangers.
Sure.
And it doesn't say only have them in your home.
Yeah.
It's pretty broad, just love people, brothers and sisters you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Talk to me a little bit about it, Stuart, when you are hosting and you're going to invite people in your home, sometimes there may be a temptation for to kind of roll out the red carpet. What I'm saying is focus maybe too much on entertainment, and you're like, hey, I want to entertain well.
Yeah.
And I've been told in times that maybe entertainment is more of a focus on the host, whereas true biblical hospitality is more focusing on the guest.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that there's a number of things I think that the host has to really work through. There's not a fear of man. There's not a perfection. Everything has to be just so to have someone over. Because that's definitely a temptation too.
And then you're limiting yourself. Like, well, we don't have the house clean.
Right.
We don't have the perfect meal.
Right.
Therefore, we can't just say, hey, come on over.
Right. And then they're wore out by the time that the guests come to really be of any good.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just completely wore out. So some of those... they're heart issues, aren't they? They're heart issues that can come out, and there can be grumbling, which the verse says, watch out for this one. The Spirit knows us very well, the Holy Spirit, that wow, they ate too much, or, you know, we were going to save that part for another meal, or they have to stay longer than they first anticipated. Yeah, or
we invited you over for lunch.
Yeah, that's right.
Not for the afternoon and into the evening.
You know, we've had different times where there was a major ice storm one time in Louisville, and we had a group over because we had electricity.
Yeah.
And the campus did not.
Yeah.
So they asked anyone who had electricity, could you take some students? So we had a whole bunch of them over at our house, and we didn't know when they would be going back to the campus. And so it was going on a few days, you know, and so we're getting the food, and there's always those that are a delight to have.
Yeah.
And there are those who they're there on how to be served.
There you go.
And it's just so evident of they're in it for themselves, but it gives you opportunity to love them well and get to know them and also try to help them.
Yeah. You know, when you think about hospitality too, you think about in James where it says, you know, basically if someone's has a need, you need to show your faith by meeting that need and not just saying, be warmed, be filled.
Yeah.
Might that kind of fit together with this thinking of how to show hospitality?
Yeah. And not everyone can open up their home. They don't even have extra rooms or cots or, you know, places where they could lay down. But to see that the need is met is a way of loving strangers as well. It's like, here's a need. And we've had situations like that where we couldn't meet the financial need that they had. We could contribute a little, but the need that they had was far greater. And we just contacted a few people and the need was met. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of avenues to do that, you know, GoFundMe kind of accounts today. But loving them well doesn't always mean we have to be the one, if you can't supply the complete need. But you could, how can we join in on this endeavor? But I know Zandra used to, and still does, crock pot kind of meals. I talked about that at the end of this one another in this chapter. And just we're having someone over, someone we don't know. And we would talk, I met this couple or she met this couple, or, you know, we're going to invite a particular family or group over or some singles over, single adults. And it's preparing ahead of time. Mm-hmm. It is really helpful. As sometimes needs just surface up. But if you can plan ahead to where you're expecting it, you're planning on it.
You're saying here, be careful as a married couple that maybe you don't surprise your spouse by just saying, the wife's got something. You guys come on over. And then they come over and she looks at you with that deer in headlights look of like, hey, what is this?
Some are really flexible on it and they're all great. The more the merrier. And others, it could be some counseling needs afterwards on marriage counseling.
So maybe the husband and wife should get on the same page.
It should be.
Like, what's our philosophy?
Yeah.
How can we grow in this? Yeah. Do we have permission? I'm thinking a lot of times, even after church on Sunday, what if you did? I mean, I think it would be awesome if couples decided like, hey, a couple of times a quarter or a month, let's make this a Sunday that if we see a family visiting or a family that we haven't seen in a while, I mean, obviously you can prepare ahead of time and plan it out, but you can also, sometimes it's just so spontaneous. Like, hey, what are you guys doing for lunch?
Right.
We'd love for you guys to come over to our place or let us take you out to lunch or something of that nature.
Yeah. There's just different ways to do that. If we don't plan it, it tends not to get done because life is pretty busy. And if they say, what do you feel like having someone over tonight? If we go by our feelings, probably not.
Yeah.
But if it's planned and you're kind of thinking ahead this Friday night or this Saturday or this Sunday after church, let's do this. You can kind of prepare your hearts prayerfully and think through who we could have over. And it's kind of plan it and it tends to go so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. You know, I think too, as a family, Lisa and I still have 5 kids in the house. So we got to prepare them too.
Yeah.
And we got to remind them, because the first thing they ask is, who is it? You know, we're like, hey, we're having somebody over. They want to know who it is. And do they have kids?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, well, how old are the kids?
Yeah.
And sometimes I've noticed, you know, if they're like, oh, they're all babies, you know, our kids may be like, oh, man, you know, because they were looking for a playmate.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, this family has, you know, 2-3 young kids.
Right.
Our youngest at this point is 8. Our oldest is 15. So it might be an opportunity for Lisa and I to say, hey, we want you guys to really help watch and care, keep an eye on these little ones so we can serve this family.
Right.
So it's really a way that you can bring some discipleship ideas, not only into your marriage as you, husband and wife, work through that, but together with the kids.
Yeah. And I know in other countries and talked to different pastors and others and like down at the Dominican Republic, the guy told me, he says, we grew up, no one claimed a room in the house. It was never your room.
You're talking about for the family?
Yeah, the family. Is they always had people coming through, by missionaries, other family. It's just you never had a room.
What do you mean?
I mean, you would sleep. You know,
every night it's a free for all. Like, oh, I'll take this bed.
It just could be that you were asked to sleep, you know, in the living room on the couch.
Be willing to give up.
That's
your
right.
Bed
you just never. It's more of, I don't know if it's a Western thing with us. It's like, well, I have to have my own room or my own space. But it was now we're just here to serve and. Yeah.
I like that.
It was different.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember having a few families over when I was a kid, and I'm thinking back on it. They were probably family members or close friends, but I just remember one time my mom and dad gave up their master bedroom, and they said, "Hey, we want you to stay here," and my mom and dad slept on like a fold out couch in the family room or something. Yeah. And I just remember that made a mark on me of like, "Wow, like I've never seen that before." And I mean, I've never actually done that, but I'm feeling convicted. Like, would I be willing to really, you know, make sure that whoever comes in, you know, we're here to serve them however best we can.
And I think it's in 3 John where they said, when someone is a guest, treat them and send them on their way as you would treat Christ. It's one of the verses in 3 John. Okay. It's really an interesting, treat them like you would treat Jesus if he showed up. It goes back to the honor, you know, outdo one another in honor. And that would take away grumbling.
Yeah.
Just how we see them, what we can do for them.
Yeah. You know, I was in the Ukraine one time on a mission trip, and we were serving together with a group of 20 of us or so. And there was a person in our group that had a birthday. And so they said, hey, we want to have a special birthday celebration for this person in your group who is their birthday. And so they had this little cake. It's a small cake. And we sang happy birthday, and they spread the cake out. And I remember eating a piece of that cake, and I'm like, well, this isn't that good. And this cake is tiny. You know, like, what are these people thinking? And then the pastor happened to whisper in my ear and said, hey, the leader of our youth group of the church in Ukraine bought that cake with his own money. And it would have cost him a month of his wages as working part-time. But he said he wanted to purchase this for you guys to show hospitality and to bless this individual for their birthday. And I just remember being so blown away of the sacrifice of what should go into meaningful hospitality. And it's not really about the size of the cake or the, you know, the excellence. Well, you know, there's that balance. We want to do it with excellence, but we're just here to help you with whatever we have is also for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember something similar to that where money was given to, it was up in Ukraine and in Russia, where money was given to them to house us, to stay at their home for a week. And they spent all that money rather than things they could do to their home or they spent all the money on food so that we would eat well. So it was for their guests.
Yeah,
they didn't take it to use it for themselves at all. This is really nice. And they go, they don't eat like that usually.
So you had more than cabbage soup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, more than borscht.
You know, well, we have a lot to learn with showing hospitality. I wonder if you could touch again just on that thought of it, focusing on the guest. That's what we're saying. It's really, we want to minister to them.
Yeah.
We want to make them feel loved, and then we want to have conversation, right? We're talking here about a lot of the practical hospitality is food and shelter, but isn't there also another element of congenial fellowship, conversation, drawing them out, maybe giving them an opportunity to share and talk as you get to know them? Would that be an aspect maybe of hospitality?
Oh, I think so. And ask him how you can pray for them and then pray with them. I would think after you are done, whatever the occasion is, they're no longer a stranger. Mm. If you've loved them well,
they're now a friend.
They're now a friend.
Yeah.
They're a brother or sister, but now they're a friend. And that could be at a over for popcorn on some evening, or yeah. It doesn't have to be a full-blown meal. It doesn't mean you have to bed them down in the sense of uh-huh. a place to stay, but just how can we no longer look at the people as strangers and love them well mm. and practical needs. And yeah. usually when you ask, how can we pray for you in conversation, you find out what the needs may be mm-hmm. in their life and burdens yeah. and how to pray for them.
And at that point, that's full-blown ministry.
You've ministered practically
yeah. with opening up your home, and now you're really drawing them out, listening, offering some encouragement, yeah. and then offering to pray with them. Another thing we try to do with families, we don't do this perfectly, but we try to have a family devotion after our evening meal. Mm. Sometimes we do it at breakfast too, just depending on how busy our schedule is that day.
Yeah.
But recently we had a couple over and, after our evening meal, we're like, hey, we're going to open the Word. We'd love for you guys to join us. We're just going to take 5 or 10 minutes and read some scripture. Yeah. And I just remember how that family was so, out of everything that happened in their whole time together, that's what they kept talking about. Yeah. It's like, hey, thank you for letting us join into your family worship together. And yeah. that's just another way you're being hospitable. Yeah. You're being like family. This is what yeah. we do. Come join us in our worship. Yeah. And that could also be a great encouragement and a blessing. In fact, one college kid we did that with told me he'd never, ever seen that done in a home other than his own. Wow. And he just said, hey, just thanks for modeling it as a different home with a yeah. different whatever style or way of going about it. But thanks for doing it.
Yeah.
And they really appreciated that. So that's maybe an example of hospitality ministry that you're doing in yeah. your home.
And that would be to anyone in the church, widows, single parents, college age, single adults, they can reach out as well. Mm-hmm. And then we can reach out to them. So mm-hmm. it's a mutual, it doesn't have to be family with family.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how can we love people we don't know?
Yeah, because sometimes it gets too segregated, doesn't mm-hmm. it? A family yeah. will have a family. Yeah.
But the they kids won't want have kids over. Yeah. yeah.
But they don't do the single person.
Yeah.
Or the single right. person's like, why would I ever invite a family over?
Right.
But you're saying maybe we can encourage those of you listening who are single, yeah. who have an apartment, and maybe you share it with another person. Maybe you don't, but you yeah. guys could say, hey, let's have over a family yeah. and let's serve them and minister to them.
Yeah. Or a few singles, single adults could get together and say, hey, let's go do something. Let's invite a few families over we don't know. It's everyone reaching out to love strangers and not waiting to be asked. So every brother and sister would have that hospitality is commanded for elders that mm-hmm. they have to be hospitable. But then this passage, this verse here in 1 Peter is for every Christian mm-hmm. to love strangers. Mm-hmm. There's no exception.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for elders for just a moment. Is that something you think on an elder team you should be just assuming is happening? Or maybe you could be asking fellow elders, hey guys, let's make sure we're opening up our homes, yeah. reaching out to others.
Yeah.
How do we know when enough is enough, or is it just always excel still more? Or what do you think is like, is there a litmus test of if somebody is being hospitable and someone's not characterized as hospitable?
I heard recently in the past year of a pastor who didn't want anybody over.
Uh-oh.
And I just wanted to be secluded away from the church people and everyone else. And I'm thinking, what? That doesn't even meet. Mm. The quality of really loving the sheep well. And I think as far as elders, a good thing would be just from time to time reviewing what the mm-hmm. elders should be doing and not doing, mm-hmm. in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. But usually hear about it. You hear, oh, this elder, the people yeah. over here and these people, oh, I was over at so-and-so's house. And you kind of hear it. And if you don't hear it, mm-hmm. I would think it'd be worth asking questions mm-hmm. as to are you loving the sheep well and
yeah.
strangers and even those that you do know, and just ask questions and mm-hmm. see what might be happening. It could sure. be a health issue, right? I mean, there yeah. could be some circumstances that would prevent or at least hinder some of the over at your house situation, but usually hear it.
Yeah.
People are talking about it.
Sure. No, I like that. And what's your best view of how to encourage your church to be more hospitable? That's something, I guess, that, I mean, do you preach a message on hospitality? You could, right? Do
you
just
could.
Try to weave it into your, the ebb and flow of your preaching that, hey, guys, make sure that you are reaching out to each other and loving each other?
I think you could do a message or a series on it, or a small group. Mm-hmm. You know, I've mentioned Alexander Strock in the book. I mentioned his little booklet, The Hospitality Commands. Mm-hmm. And so this is for a group study on the various passages that talk about it. Mm. Actually, they're commands. And then some practical ways that they could practice these. So that's one tool, one way to get the people reaching out, but modeled with the leadership. Mm-hmm. They're held to it. But start doing it just like every Sunday. I want to get to know someone I don't know. Mm. And our church is large enough that, you know, that keep us busy for a while.
There you go.
But just how do we love people we don't know and love them well?
Mm. Well, to our listeners, are you loving strangers generously and wisely as a form of sacrifice and worship to God? And are you doing this with the right heart attitude that avoids grumbling and complaining? Check your heart and ask why these things may not be happening as they should, and seek the Lord and His Word to improve. Try setting aside specific time each week or each month during which you extend hospitality to others. May the Lord bless you as you seek to be genuinely hospitable to one another.
Thank you for joining us today on Care of Souls. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by the truth from Scripture and are better equipped to serve Christ in His church. Visit our website at 180ministries.org to learn more about our resources and services. Until next time, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. May the Lord bless you as you abide in Him.